Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Right, we're playing this off the air.
So proud of us.
It's our tradition. We start off by playing Kevin Bloody Wilson off the mobile phone. It's Hump Day with Swanee and friends. Our friends, Dane Swan and Samantha Richards. Ooh. Hi, friends.
Well, I'm Swanee, hello. Dickhead, so...
And I'm friend.
I'm not friends with myself. Well, I'm friends with myself.
Do you like yourself, Dane?
Yeah, well, no one else does, so fuck it, I'm one as well like myself.
I right. like you, Dane.
Hey, we're under some friend. Time pressure here.
Huh?
We're Why? Under some time pressure.
Why?
Well,
got somewhere to be, Dane.
No, no, other people have to go soon. So Sam Newman, we're doing it from Studio Sam Newman. Hello, Sam.
Yes. What's happened? What do you got the phone up there for?
Well, we'll film a little bit of this. But
filming.
Dane, before we start with Sam, are you playing in the EJ Witten Legends match?
No, I'm not.
Were you asked?
Roundabout, I think I was, yeah.
What does that mean? Someone asked you about you, didn't pass it on.
My manager, I think, asked me if I was available to play.
Long conversation?
Well, I said, how much?
What? Nothing, sir.
Well, nothing, exactly right.
It's for prostate. Have you got one?
I don't know what that is.
Prostate, that's the thing that makes you get it up.
Yeah. Well, only got one of them there. So I might have two.
Yeah. Hopefully we're not listening to Sam's scientific tips. I don't know if that's exactly the function of your prostate.
It's to do with your libido, Sam.
Okay.
If you haven't got a prostate, you've got to have Elle McPherson walk through there wearing just a couple of Band-Aids and a cork.
So I'm listening to an ad for the EJ Witten game. And it's on 3AW, and they're playing a bit of Rex Hunt, saying, and Dermot Brereton's down. Now, Derm's the coach of the Vics. Mm-hmm. I think Duck's the coach of the All-Stars. Sam Newman, come on. That famous bit of Rex Hunt commentary was from the 1989 Grand Final. Were you not in the broadcast box at the time?
In the box with Rex and Ron Barassi, and he and I were
one of the most iconic moments in...
Special comments we were doing.
And when Dermot Brereton got ironed out.
This is how it went. It's doing us off. Thanks for giving some notice on this, Ralph. I'm doing this off the top of my head. And Rex said, and umpire Darren Goldspink slams the ball into the rubber knob and the ball rises into the afternoon sunshine. And Mark Yates has cleaned up Dermot Brereton. All fantastic action at the start of the game. Special comments, Ron Barassi. I'm sorry, Rex, I dropped my pen. I had my head under the desk when it happened. Bullshit, Ron, make it up. It's not television. Tell the people what happened. He said, I didn't see it. Jesus, Ron. That's how the opening seconds of the game started. For that spare dingham.
Anyway, so you've got a podcast, Sam, Mike and Don.
Yes.
Is it a bit electric this week?
Well, electric. We didn't have a chair. Hooked up to the electrics. That would have been a great ending to it. No, we had the delectable, delightful Caroline Wilson in, and she and I chatted about butterfly wings and aspic jelly, trips to the country, hampers out on a nice afternoon down by the river. Oh, yes, we chatted all about that knot.
Should have stayed for hours.
I know you're going to go, but for Mike, you would ask Swanee what you asked him off.
Hello, James. Hello, Sam.
He was shit scared. No. He wouldn't... He wasn't going to ask you, could you What's come happened? On open mic? No, I said, I'll ask him for you.
I could come anywhere, Sam.
we talk like this on our podcast.
We're a much more sophisticated audience.
No, and he fibbed before about how the podcast went.
Yeah.
He was nervous before the start, and along the way he was angry, and then in the finish, she won, Sambo. She pulled your pants down.
Oh, please don't even say that.
I was going to say, look out.
In jest.
We've already been in trouble enough on this podcast, Mike. We don't need you fucking up again.
Hey. Proverbially. Now, Dane, I have asked you to come on.
Yeah,
and I'm looking forward to you saying yes in 2 weeks' time.
All right, we'll leave it. We'll leave it to our listeners. If they want me to come on, I'll come on.
Give us your opening question.
All right, so
no, not you. All
right, I'm going to come and defend my mate Scott. That's what I've got to do.
No, I say hello, Dane. How many times have you named number one in the top?
Yeah,
50?
Well, I'm filthy on that. Yeah, probably zero.
Well, you don't read papers, do you?
When I'm number one, I do.
I'll give you Dane's opening question. How much?
Yeah. Might see you next week, Sam. I'm going to Thailand tomorrow. That's why I can't do the Legends game. I would have done it if I.
What are you apologising to me for?
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to him.
That's why he's not doing the EJ game.
No, no. Oh, Sam. Yeah.
Sam. So see you later.
Thanks, guys.
See you, guys.
Bye, yeah. Sam.
See you, Mike.
See you,
Mike. Bye, Mike.
I would have played. Would have been fun. More for. The football probably wouldn't have bothered me, but they say it's a great social event and get to catch up to the blokes I played against and played before me, obviously, and would have been fun. But as it's worked out, I'm going over to Thailand.
Another tomorrow. Holiday?
Yeah, that's a working holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We discussed this. He's flying cattle class. He's not overly impressed.
Jetstar, I think. Economy. Oof. I was probably in the middle seat too, which will really kill me.
Get a full report on that one.
I'm actually doing a leadership talk as well, so fuck knows why they want me to do a leadership talk, but I'm doing one.
You're a leader. You're going, wow.
In my own way.
Unpack this.
Well, we'll have to unpack it when I get back. Right. See what I'm talking about. Yeah, because I actually have to ask them what they want me to talk about. But usually leadership and motivation is not my kind of thing. But
so you're going to write about other leaders you've been with? Maybe that's a go.
I'll spin something, mate. Yeah, I'll figure it out.
You'll be riding on the plane, won't you?
I might do a few notes. Yeah.
I meant to say, when I went overseas, we were so blessed. Sue and myself, because we had it was cattle class, and there was me, Isle, her middle, didn't have a choice, and someone window. A guy got on, I think he was from the League of Swanee, got on, leant back, put a towel over his head, and slept for 12 hours. We were pumped.
Good going.
Yeah, it's a good result for us. Hey, we just want to, right off the top, thanks to our Patreon people.
Yes.
Nothing's for nothing, but this podcast is sort of for nothing, but a lot of people said, come back. Now, Sam's on board, obviously, but if you want to be part of it, for as little as, how's this, $2 a month.
Why do you do it in US dollars?
I haven't got a choice on it. Yeah. What? We haven't got a choice on it. It's a US platform.
Why wouldn't you, some people out there wouldn't know what that converts to.
I think it's about $3.60.
Well, that's a bit easier.
Yeah, but I get you can't publish it in American dollars.
Why not?
Because.
Okay, fair enough.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Good answer as any.
And thanks to people who've bought our shit merch. I mean, I think Dane...
Oh, it's been flying out, hasn't it? Absolutely flying out.
So that's part of
very
it.
Very funny. Both years.
Dane had RSI last week from signing so many mugs and shirts for all the great people.
Not all heroes wear capes.
It's no good.
Hey, Sam, you just want to get something off your chest right off the top. Yeah. Australia, the whinging capital of the world.
Oh, Jesus. I'm British born, so I'm used to being referred to as a whinging pom. But I tell you what, Aussies are taking over the title of whingers.
You're not wrong.
I was at the footy. This is two stories, but I was at the footy on the weekend. I get there at quarter time to work at half time. And if you leave the venue, you have to scan out. Therefore, you have to scan back in. And there was a group of guys there, probably about six of them, that were lining up. There was probably about 20 people trying to line back up to get back in after they'd gone out for a cigarette. And he was absolutely outraged at the thought of lining up for about 3 minutes. And he literally goes, oh, the fuck's this about, Gil? You pay all this money to go watch the fucking football and I have to fucking line up to get back in. And I turned to him and I said, I think a ticket to the footy is about $27, isn't it? And he goes, it's not the fucking point. I shouldn't have to line up to get back in. I thought, what? What is so bad in your life that you're whinging so much that you think Gil McLaughlin's going to listen to you while he's standing in the line?
Is his side losing?
I can't even remember who he was going for.
Is his side Essendon?
No, actually he was going for the Pies. Was and he? I texted you and told him, did you get him up? Him?
Disappointing lack of you putting bait out for Essendon supporters last Friday night.
Yeah, I know. Friday Arvo, Friday night got away from me, Ralph. So
busy, were you?
Yeah, I was at the footy. We had a long lunch and then To be honest, about after half time, the footy was irrelevant.
So unlike our great mate Cabo, you've got a bit more discipline when it comes to just don't go near your phone.
Oh no, I was just out with my mates. So if I'd have been like just sitting there, or you know, just sitting with me, I mean, watching the footy or on the couch, I would have trolled them because I fucking hate me Essendon supporters. I tell you what, oof, they are the ones, mate. They don't forget. They don't forget. Got memory like elephants.
And they're so original with the things they say to you.
Yeah. Well, everyone's original. Everyone says the same shit to me, mate. So if something clever comes my way, I'll like it and I'll appreciate it. But yeah. You got to get something new to get the blood flowing with me.
Any new gags.
So part two of the whinging, but the main whinging. We were whinging on the world stage, weren't we?
Oh, so embarrassed. Actually, you know what? I spoke to a couple of the boys from the American side that were so impressed with the event that was Australia versus USA over the couple of days, the Thursday and the Saturday. It was an absolute spectacle. I tell you what, like I work in events and I work at Marvel Stadium and it was so cool. It was a cool event to be. The atmosphere was awesome and there's fucking people whinging about your seats. Like, have you never been to a game at Marvel? They can't make the court or the humans any bigger. So how the fuck do you think you're going to be able to see from the bleachers?
Guessing you had a spot where you could see then, Sam?
Yeah, I did. But most spots you could see because I wandered around. And
man
I
of the people chimed
in. Yeah,
why did you think that just because it's a basketball game, you're going to be able to, in a big stadium, you're going to be able to see any better than you would be able to see the football from level four?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I didn't go. I actually had tickets for Saturday.
It was bloody awesome.
I didn't realise it was an afternoon game.
What were you doing?
I was asleep.
Talk us through this.
You slept through?
Well, this a short story.
What? Well, that's exactly what it is. I had tickets. I thought it was like a night game.
Useless. And went out honestly
Friday night. Had a few. And then, you know, it was reasonably dusty the next day. And I laid in bed and ordered some Uber Eats and went to flick on, I don't know, the footy or something. And I was like, just happened to scroll past, like, it was on SBS, the basketball with all random spots, and it was like international basketball. I was like, oh shit, it might be like, you know, Argentina, or, you know, it might be Greece or something like Greek Freak might be playing or something like that. And it was USA Australia. I was like, what the fuck's going on here?
It was such a good game.
Is it the reserves or something like that playing before the big game? And they were playing. I was like, well.
Missed that one.
Yeah, that's not the first time I've missed an event.
Well, the
UFC did it to the UFC as well.
Speaking of the UFC, Shane Heal, actually, Australian basketball legend, tweeted that morning because everyone was in uproar about the seats and how terrible they were. He tweeted a photo. The setup for the UFC was exactly the same, right down to the type of plastic chairs that people were sitting on. And people were whinging about the basketball setup, but they never whinged about the UFC. Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. I was like, because did they have elevated seating in the UFC?
No.
No.
Oh, well, it was floor seating. It was exactly the same.
UFC would be higher though, wouldn't it?
Correct. So you would technically have seen less, especially when they were grappling and down on the floor wrestling. Yeah. No one complained about that. And all the media turned positive and everyone forgot about the seating debacle once we won for the first time in history.
I'm going to the UFC in Melbourne in October, so I'll let you know I'm on the floor.
Are you?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll report back.
Something that I've got an itch, I've got a scratch, and I think our listeners who keep telling me to talk closer to the mic. The UFC story, what was the first time you missed it?
I was exactly the same.
Were they really good seats?
Yep. I'll call like the danger seats or something, like, because you might get a lot of blood on your like the equivalent of courtside. And then once again, I did it to myself. It was a self-inflicted wound. Because the UFC has to be shown Saturday nights in the US, so it's like Sunday morning. It starts at like, you know, the main card starts about 12. And Taylor's cousin was out from the States, and he lived in California, so everything shuts at like 2 a.m. there. So I was like, all right, well, I'll take you to a couple of places and think I'll be up early. And got away from us again, one thing led to another, and we got home at like, I don't know, 7 in the morning or something like that. Woke up and so fuck, I've missed out a 1,000 missed calls from like the people who give me the tickets, and woke up and run around as you've been knocked out, so I could miss the whole thing. So I'm not great with sporting events.
I just hope they did a little pan across to the celebrities in the crowd. There's just two seats.
Well, there was two seats. Yeah, two spurries. Yeah.
Happy International Dog Day, Dane. Do I know what a dog lover you are?
Yeah, well, happy International Dog Day. That was yesterday.
Yeah. Celebrate hard with Barney.
Did you get Barney something nice?
He got fed. Got a walk.
Lucky Barney.
I happened to be scrolling through social media and it popped up. I didn't pop up on my calendar, but I was everyone else is putting out photos of dogs, so I'll throw mine up. There you go. But it's also a very big week for a lot of footballers.
Mad Monday?
Yep. Yep.
How exciting.
Be fair to say, we've had a few queries about your Mad Monday memories.
Yeah, it's...
lack of memory.
Probably a lot of players out there are feeling a lot better than me right now. A lot better than us.
And you sort of transitioned through your career, if I get the arc right, it was sort of like really private and then let the media in for a couple of quick photos and then it got stupider and stupider and then probably not tell anyone.
Yeah, it sort of happens on a Wednesday now usually because, you know, you got your exit interviews and all this kind of stuff. So you go usually through that on the Monday, Tuesday, and then usually happens on the Wednesday or Thursday. They pick a day and then they go for it. So it's the best week of the year.
Do you ever indulge in a dress-up, Dane?
Yeah, we did. We did.
Any memorable ones?
The memorable one was probably the Spider-Man outfit that I wore on. Only because as the story goes, when I was leading the Brownlow, I didn't get invited. But for that, the hardest thing to do in football, no doubt, is to finish on a Friday night and make it all the way to Mad Monday on the Monday. That's the
hardest thing.
What's the hardest thing to do? Well, it's only very few can do it. So that means you go Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, then roll up to Mad Monday, half normal. The toughest thing you can do in football.
Have you ever managed to accomplish that, Dane?
Yeah, I did, actually, a couple of times.
I thought if anyone could, Dane could.
Well, this was where the dress-up, the Brownlow thing happened. So we got people at Geelong on by 5 points in the prelim.
Bucks' last game?
In 07, he might have finished 08. Okay. Well, yeah, so around maybe. Got beat by Geelong by 5 points in the prelim. And then obviously we got beat, clearly, so... You know, your festivities happen, and then me and Jono footy clubs being footy clubs. If you walked out and bought your costume preliminary final week, you know, you get scolded, mate. What are you not thinking you're going to win this week? So it's not allowed, you know, just it looks bad apparently. So we didn't have our kits, and then me and Jono were too busy trying to accomplish the toughest thing to do in football. So, did have to go and buy our costumes for us, and then through lack of having no one else, have nothing else, me and Jono got Spider-Man and Superman or some stupid like that. So, story goes, we were dressed up as Spider-Man and like everyone dresses up, and then got to about 8 o'clock at night, and we all went back to Didis to get changed out of our kit so we could go out and, you know, continue the night. And then... we all went back to Didz's house, and you know the Brownlow starts at, 8:30 or something like that. Yeah. So we'd all sort of gone from, you know, just sort of pottering around the house, having a drink, sort of just have it, you know, taking turns and showering and getting ready for wherever we're going that night. And then I got all my votes early, so I went from sort of just sort of walking around, having it in the background, all, you know, 6, 7 of just sitting there watching, and I got all my votes early, clearly. And then when I was leading, about after around 10 or 11 or something like that, my phone started going berserk. And, you know, my manager rang me. I think the AFL were trying to ring me. And that picker just sort of rang and said, mate, you might have to go into the Brownlow here if you end up winning it. And obviously I was told, mate, you can tell them to stick it up their ass. And so there's no way I'm going in there.
Would you have been that direct?
No. Yes. Ralph, what do you think? I was like, off starters, mate. It's been a big 4 days, so I can't hardly talk. And, mate, they didn't invite me, so they can get fucked as far as I'm concerned. So
surely there's one person in the room that does know who the winner is prior to the count.
No, I
don't think so.
I don't know.
Not at all. No. So it's a complete surprise. So that could happen, that someone could have won that wasn't invited.
Yeah, well, I think how you get invited to the Brownlow is the club nominate 4 or 5 people and then the AFL tick it off. So... Collingwood obviously nominated the 5 people who they wanted to go, and then the AFL looked at it and said, yep, that's fine. And the weird thing, stupid thing about it was I finished 4th in the best and fairest that year. So wouldn't you have thought they just go, well, here's our five best players of the year, and I played in the midfield where it's a midfielder's award.
So we're saying what, 2007, 2008? So you're probably 3 or 4 years in to your career?
I started in 2001, so I'm 6 years in. It was a slow...
Is that your first senior game, 2001?
No, 2.
Yeah,
2. No, 3. Hopefully, got drafted in
2001. Far out.
I drafted in 2001, didn't play a game in 2002, played 3 in 2003.
What were you doing in 2002, Dane? Having a nap?
What was I doing? I was in the reserve. That's where I was. Right? I was kicking the jaw off out in Geelong. I was going out Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. No, going out Thursday night, Friday night, playing in the reserve Saturday, and going out Saturday night, Sunday night, sleeping Monday through Wednesday. So football wasn't a high priority on my first year on the list, Sam.
I'm going back to the point I was getting to today, Swanee. Do you think by then the club's got fourth and the best and fairest? Swanee not attending is probably good for our brand.
Yeah, mate. Well, yeah, yeah. Thanks for spinning it that way, Ralph. That wasn't very nice. Yeah, yeah. It's probably a very accurate thing.
Harsh but fair.
Yeah, well, very harsh but fair. Mad Mondays are, the Brownlow got in the way of Mad Mondays for a lot of people after that.
Yeah.
Like when you were finished on a prelim and stuff like that.
And that's hence the exit interviews. Or the clubs don't even worry about exit interviews if you get the prelim.
Nah, they do. They all do.
On the Monday?
Yeah. Monday, Tuesdays usually. This probably only started happening the last 4 or 5 years of my career.
And how much fun was that? The exit interviews after you've tried the toughest thing in football.
How much fun do you reckon it was? Yeah. Mate, you could only keep your eyes open. But this, when we were doing the toughest thing in football, you had to sleep. You had to go Mad Monday, then you didn't really have many exit interviews. It was maybe the week after, but.
Yeah.
But that was tough. Exit interviews. And you know what you're saying. Like, I was contracted.
Just an example.
Pardon?
Don't break any confidences. I know you won't. But give us an example of the type of things that you had to sit through when they're asking you serious questions and you're probably not in the mood for serious answers.
Just like your normal shit. Just how do you think season went? They obviously tell you, or if you've won the best and fairest or something like that, you know, you've had a decent year. It's pretty short and sharp. It's more for the blokes who will probably get in the ass.
Required players.
Yeah, who are required players who are struggling or really need to improve. So early on in my career, we didn't really have exit interviews when I was shit. So didn't happen. When I got to the back end,
yeah,
you know, I was going okay. So it was just more about, you know, trying to influence the young guys positively instead of negatively, which has happened before.
Was that a theme at all?
Oh, yeah, it was a reasonable. If you try a bit harder on the track, that would be nice. Put in a bit more effort. If you look after your off-field stuff, because on the field was okay, you know, defensively running and stuff like that. You know, they might show a couple of clips, but it was more like your defensive running. But I've stated previously, Ralph, you don't win Brownlows by running defensively, mate.
Not at all.
How many all Australian blokes are the best defensive runners in the league? Fucking zero. So, mate, that doesn't help you. You might get yelled at on Mad Mondays and on exit interviews and the odd review, but to the outside people, who cares? Who gives a shit?
Now, do you want a name drop at all? Who did you get your photo taken with on the weekend?
Oh, Dante Exum.
Yeah.
What a sweet, lovely human.
Didn't ask him to come on the podcast, did you?
No, he's very busy.
Is he? Busy for us?
Very, too busy. I don't think he's still here anymore, but you can tell why he is as lovely as he is. I met his sister and his dad as well. They were just down to earth, great people. You wouldn't pick it at all. I was usually when I interview important people, there's some kind of stipulation that comes with interviews. Don't talk about this. Make sure you talk about this. They don't want to talk about this. Don't you dare raise this or they'll walk out, i.e. Ben Simmons the other week. And I had a few stipulations that came with him. So I thought he was going to be a bit prickly, but he was actually not at all, just really sweet, down to earth, lovely. Only problem with him is he's a Bombers supporter. So he's, Dane, not one of your favourites.
No, that's not very nice, is it? He probably hates me too, like the rest of them.
So are you saying that because you've had a lot of, I think, they're not called writers, are they? Because that's what they get in their dressing rooms. But what is there a term for the questions you can't ask?
I don't actually know what the term would be, but you do often get things that you're told prior, definitely do not ask this person.
Why wouldn't you then help Swanee on things that Mike Sheen couldn't ask him if he did open mic?
I don't know.
Do you think that happens in Australia? Or is it just like the real big dogs in the world that have them? Like, I was at a press conference. I was never allowed to go, don't ask me about my weekend or don't ask me about this. Why don't you ask me about shit on game day?
No, it happens all the time, definitely, especially pre-game and post-game and stuff, like, especially around injuries. I think maybe it's a strategy thing. Like, if you were injured and you didn't want the other team to know, like, they don't want to target your shoulder or something, there's a weak point there. Definitely, we're not allowed to speak about injuries.
We're talking
about,
like, at the Storm.
Well, Storm and Geelong, when I was working at Geelong as well, like, you know, if I knew that one of them was injured and I wasn't specifically given a set of questions, my brain goes to, oh, how are you recovering from that sore knee? Did you pull up all right kind of thing? Or I saw you, you know, hobbling on the way in here. It's not to be spoken about. That's the main one, I guess, but that's my experience because I work with athletes. It's usually around injuries. But there are other people that are, like, the whole Ben Simmons thing was, do not talk about the Kardashians and don't talk about the Crown incident, because they just get, they get pissed off and they can storm out.
Often it's a case that it's the people who are in between them that usually, I don't know if you were saying that about Dante, you could have asked him anything because he actually doesn't care. Once you get to that level,
So when I was given that instruction, don't ask him this, that and the other, I was also told he needs to be in and out. He's got somewhere to be. So these people were making a bigger deal. So when he got there with his manager, she was lovely. I was like, hi, lovely to meet you. I've been told in and out, not talking about this, not talking about that. And
the burger chain.
What's that?
In and out.
No, I wish.
I do like In and Out. Shake Shack, I prefer. But
I agree. Shake Shack's way better. So when I said that to him, when I said that to him, he goes, no, we can talk about whatever.
Cool.
However long you want.
Yeah.
So he was open to talk about anything and kind of wanted to hang around and talk to the people, and he took photos afterwards. So it actually often isn't them. It's more their media manager trying to, you know, maintain their brand and from a PR perspective, try and control what's put out in the media. But he was happy to talk about anything.
Well, Pickers hasn't done a very good job then, let me tell you. My manager needs a kick up the ass.
Oh, speaking of which, have you got a new boss?
What do you mean?
Well, isn't Pickers company now taking over?
Yeah. I Croc Manager, was it?
You answer to Hutchie.
He answers to me, mate. He's he answers to me, don't they? I'm the talent. So they do what I tell them to do. Rehiring Scott would be a start.
Well, what if they did a deal that rehire Scott, probably get rid of that required host?
When can we start? Sam's great at hosting, so
I'm ready.
She'll just slide into your seat.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Say it, mate. Stick to racing.
What's the again? What's the who would you like to interview if you could interview anyone in the world?
In the world.
Well,
alive.
Well, Sam's interviewed an international superstar on the weekend.
Couldn't really interview anyone dead, could you? That'd be a tough sell. Wouldn't get much out of him.
We weren't far off. Who's Dennis Rodman? When he was at his, just after he retired. Did he retire after Chicago Bulls? I'm not.
I don't think so.
Glenn Matten was a massive NBA fan, probably still is. And he was at the Footy Show days when I was working there. They flew Mance and I to Sydney to interview Dennis Rodman, who sat there with his baseball cap down across his eyes and went, and that was his only answer. So we had nothing to flew to Sydney, but that was the special organ. So they have to want to come to play, Sam, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They have to be open to having a chat. And so I think it's a personality thing as well. Also, like, what sort of day they've had, like if they've got a parking fine on the way in or something like that. Like, if they're in a shit mood, they're not going to want to chat. But usually they're pretty good. And it's usually ones that are well media trained and used to it that are more open to having a chat. They're kind of used to chatting.
Did you get more media trained in what to say or what not to say?
I didn't get media trained. As you can probably tell. I got in just before all that shit started happening. So a lot of those induction camps. So I think we had one, but, mate, I can't remember. It was 2000, sort of end of 2001 when I did it. I can't remember what I did yesterday, let alone 18 years ago.
Yeah.
But, no, I think you can clearly tell by the way I talk. I'm not media trained, very savvy in it. But
some clubs won't let you speak to a player if he's not media trained at all. No chance. Even if he's best on, you know, you're not speaking to him. Because they can't kind of trust or have any control over what's going to come out of his mouth.
But sometimes they're the best people because they're not cookie cutter and they don't talk like, you know, just like a robot like the rest of them. They're all the ones with personalities that the clubs try and hide because they are.
Correct.
They might say something a bit, you know, left of centre or a bit, not controversial, but just something other than the normal shit you get. But the other thing is, like, the people in the media want those people, but as soon as they say something, they get fucking hammered for it. So you can't win. Like, the clubs or whatever give these people with great personalities and all their own selves and talk how they want to talk up, and they say something, then the media come and hammer them for it. So then they go back to all the boring sort of robot-type answers, and the media go, well, give
all
us
the
something.
Clichés.
So you can't win. You can't win.
Zach Tui's actually probably one of the funniest guys to listen to on interview because he is media trained so that he knows what to say and what not to say, but just his personality is hilarious. So he puts his own spin on it. So he's a good one that kind of hits both sides.
Are you helping someone at the moment though, Dane? in media training?
Am I helping someone?
Yeah.
God help them. Yeah, I don't know where you're going with this, Ralph. But
I saw a tweet today from...
I haven't tweeted today.
Tennis player.
Nick
Kyrgios.
Oh,
tell me if this sounds familiar, Sam. People that are irrelevant in my personal life are trying to make comments of my character. Well done, Spuds. And he's put the emoji in the spud. It's a familiar sort of attitude to people that I apologise to.
Exactly. Why should he? Why should he care about people that he doesn't
care
about?
Are you mates with Nick?
I'm not, but I'd like to be after that.
He's gone up in your estimation.
If he wants me to be his media manager, I'm more than happy to do it.
Well, we had Mike at the start. We'll touch on it and then just move on. But our man Camo, what did you see? I couldn't watch it.
Did you watch it?
No, I didn't actually, not yet. But I will.
What did I see? Listen, it's a shame that 20 minutes out of half an hour has to be talked about a stupid podcast when he's done such an amazing. He's a required player four times, but he obviously he had a fairly decent career and is a great media talent. So it's disappointing that. Hopefully that is not his legacy. He doesn't get left for me and you will argue to the day we die that nothing was done wrong.
Yep.
Out of context, yes, it looks shit house, but in context, it was just normal. Alan Jones, it's just very hypocritical of some companies out there. But
he's a piece of work, I thought
he came across as well as he could. Obviously got a bit upset when he's talking about his family and stuff. But like I said, like I tweeted out, if Scott Cummings can't get another job or can't get back into the entertainment or football world for something that we don't think we've done anything wrong, it'll be a joke. Because there's a lot of people out there who have done a lot worse, are still in the media and going well. And it was obviously easy to pick off the low-hanging fruit.
Yep.
Like Camo, who doesn't bring in big bucks for the media company that he worked for. So it was easy for companies to stand on their high horse when it suits them. But when a big dog fucks up,
yep,
they'll go radio silent, which is quite weird, isn't it? How the world works, and I understand that's how the world works. But just come out, and just own it.
Yeah.
If a company came out and said, "Well, you know what, he makes us $5 million a year, he could murder someone, and he's staying with us. Oh, no probs." You go, fair enough. Well, you cop that because that's just the world we live in. It's like when a good player fucks up, he's getting another chance. If a bloke was getting delisted at the end of the year, fucks up, he's getting sacked halfway through the year anyway just because it makes the club look good. So I understand that, but if I go on open mic, I'll have my say. But like I said, I would never apologise for people I don't care about. I don't think we'd – especially if it's something where I don't do anything wrong.
Yes.
But
an apology is an admission of guilt. So by saying that you're sorry means that you're admitting that you played some part in the wrongdoing and you don't believe you did that. So
I'm enjoying the – and Dane's doubling down. So it means doubling down means that you're not listening to other people telling you to apologise. Oh. In other words, you're standing your ground, get fucked.
Oh, well, exactly right. absolutely. If you don't like it, if you don't like what I have to say, don't listen. It's as simple as that.
What I genuinely don't get, I know I've put this here, but I genuinely don't get that. I understand the content was inappropriate.
Yeah.
We're reading a fictitious website. Sam, tell me this if we're wrong.
What's real? The website is real.
The website's real. Nothing on the website was true. When Homer Simpson's getting strangled by, Homer Simpson strangling Bart Simpson and people are laughing at the Simpsons, are people endorsing childhood violence?
I think so. Yes. Yes,
it's the same thing. It didn't happen. It's a cartoon.
I told you, Ralph, people like to whinge in this country about things.
All right. Well, here's someone who's not whinging. He's come to us for help.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time.
For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Okay.
Michael. Yes. Michael sent us a message here. Swanee, Sam, Michael needs you. I have a real dilemma. Had a vasectomy 6 weeks ago. I've had a good innings, 4 kids. The queue needs to go in the rack. To me. Besides, the procedure being absolutely horrific, the post-op was worse when they were the size of the Granny Smith apple and more purple than Jeff Skivvy out of the Wiggles. All good now, sort of. My real dilemma now is the testing of my swimmers. Seems straightforward, right? Just a simple deposit into a Tupperware container. Tupperware's right. Yep, simple. My issue is I live 2 hours from the pathology clinic and it needs to be handled within the hour, still warm. Yeah, now we're thinking. So the only option I have is to drive to town and get the job done. Problem is, where do I do it? I can't in the car. That's just weird. What happens if I get caught? I have a branded vehicle, so not great. So that would be good for his brand.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it depends what his brand is. It might be great for it.
Yeah. I certainly can't do public toilets because that's just disgusting. I don't use them for pooing, yeah. Let alone romantic time by myself. I don't want to pay for a room. Seems like they're cheating on my wife. I didn't think about the Alaskan pipeline. My wife thinks this is hilarious. I'm not laughing. How do we help Michael?
I know one way you can help him.
Give him a hand round.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Absolutely.
What? Well, he's. I was going to say he's fucked, but he's actually not.
Nah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. What would you say?
It does remind me of
surely they would have like a room in the pathology clinic.
Well, that's what I thought. And our Scotty and my mate Sergio Paradise, very very funny show, Sam, that three people listen to called Ralphie, Serge, and the Big Man. But Serge has a true story about a TV chef from back in the day. He's not on TV anymore. Who had to give a sample, so he walks into a room and he thought there'd be like magazines of some sort to get himself a bit inspired, but there wasn't. Anyway, he gets himself going and provides a sample. True story, this. Goes back to the nurse and says, there you go. And she said, urine sample, please.
No.
To which Sergio White says, he then said, give it a TV chef, here's what I prepared earlier. So we don't know if we can help you, Michael. Jaden, we might be able to help. I'll take Sam on her search for a block partner. Got no fucking idea, but it'll be good doing it. It'll be a good watch. Love the show. Glad it's back and keep going.
I've got me segment too.
What's your segment?
No, I've got me article for the week. Yeah. I've got two, actually.
Look at a few.
Are you still going with those questions?
Yeah.
What about... Sorry about that. I popped up on my phone.
We got him back, Sam.
I was thinking, yeah, I was actually just, you know, I was zoned out. I was actually thinking about something completely stupid.
Oh, really?
Touché.
I was actually thinking whether rollerblading would ever be cool again, but I don't know why that popped into my head, but that's what I was thinking about. What? Because how cool, it was fucking popular when I was a kid. Now you... No one rolls.
I used to love rollerblading.
No, so did I. That's what I mean. You scan the
people do down at St Kilda along the boardwalk in summer.
Yeah, but would you classify those people as cool? What?
No comment.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. So, this
how story, much would you pay Sam for a roadmap of how that got to Swanee's brain?
I don't know, because the article that I'm about to read, I've got two articles. The articles I'm about to read have nothing to do with rollerblading. Well, this probably confirms that I probably have the strongest relationship in the world. Wife in UAE seeks divorce because husband loves her a lot, doesn't argue with her. What a woman.
Basically the perfect marriage.
I side with her, let me tell you. The woman sought divorce from her husband at the Sharia court in somewhere because his love was too much for her to bear. He never yelled at me or turned me down. What a piece of shit this bloke was. What an arsehole.
As we often say, he's ruining for everyone else.
I was choked by extreme love and affection. He even helped me clean the house. Now, this bloke is a dead set fuckwit. How dare he? Tyler, come spend a couple... Tell him to spend a couple of days with us, Ralph, on this podcast. I'll tell you, we'll get women hating him real fucking quick smart. Let me tell you. So, mate, he even sometimes cooked for her, and there were no disputes in their year-long marriage. The wife complained that her life turned to hell because the man was so kind to her.
He's asking for trouble.
Oh, mate, let me tell you, I was saying, we could tell him a thing or two about fucking women hateness, let me tell you. Jesus Christ, what a girl. I fully support the woman. Like, this bloke seems to be kicked off the face of the earth.
Sam?
I think
what's the criteria?
I'm unsure. I would be I don't know why she's complaining.
Well, let me introduce him to Urban Dictionary. let me just give him a couple of, do you want me to read out some Urban Dictionary terms for him?
No, it's a question. No.
Well,
no, I prefer you didn't.
The husband has asked the court to advise his wife to withdraw the case. It's not fair to judge a marriage from the first year and everybody learns from their mistakes.
At least it's an admission of guilt. Sorry, he's in the wrong.
Yeah, so I probably have on the base of that knowledge, I've probably got the strongest relationship there ever has been.
Do you ever appeal for, like, if you do the right thing and then get accused of, you know, maybe you haven't had a big night and then, oh, hang on, you've had a couple of too many drinks. It's a waste of looking after yourself, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're saying he should have gone out and had a blowout because he's been accused anyway.
That's right. Yeah. Nothing worse.
So that was, I found that to be fully odd, to be very weird.
From the Guardian experience, I had an erection for 3 weeks.
I read this.
Is that from the Guardian or is that from your private personal blog?
Well, he's gay and...
So?
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But I'm still happen to be heterosexual. this guy called Danny has written this. This summer I got a new boyfriend, moved into a new flat in Berlin, started the job. It was one of the happiest times of my life. One Friday, my partner was having an early night, so a friend came over with a few bottles of wine. I popped a bit Viagra before leaving the house because I find it difficult to get an erection if I've been drinking. My boyfriend and I are in an open relationship.
Must have a stiff neck.
When I hooked up with a handsome beard, I suggested we go back to my place. We proposed he gives me an erection-enhancing injection. I was hesitant. I'd tried something similar a few years before. It hurt a bit. It stayed harder for longer than I wanted to. But the nurse seemed really keen, so I considered. That was the biggest mistake in my life.
Did you this read the rest awful, of this? Yeah, no, this is awful, yeah.
I haven't read it, no.
Yeah.
I'm squeamish and I hate needles.
Is this you or is this the article?
No, this is the article still.
Pardon?
Yeah, still the article.
Well, yeah, you're looking at me like you weren't reading. So
I looked away. Would you be looking away if someone's sticking a needle down there?
Now, is this the article or is this you talking?
No, it's the article again.
Would I look? No, I wouldn't.
How often do you look when you are getting needles?
All the time when I'm getting tattooed.
You're watching it.
Well, for me, randomly enough, I think it's less painful when I'm looking at it.
There you go. You had experience in that area at all?
With needles, yes, I have. I got clearly.
I can still feel that sudden increase in pressure as the medication entered through the side of my penis. It was uncomfortable, but not painful, and it worked. When I woke, I thought it was strange that I was still so hard. I had a long-lasting erection before. Now, this is word of the week. It's called a priapism.
Yeah. A what?
Priapism.
No, you...
Long-lasting.
It's what stays hard for over a day.
Jesus.
Who thought of that word?
Well, some poor bastard who had an erect penis for a day. Need to make up a word.
An ice pack helped. I was already late for the Christopher Street Day parade. You thought it was bad when you were late for the UFC and the bus.
Well, late, don't turn up.
So I grabbed a wine cooling sleeve from the freezer and wrapped around it. Got dressed and ran for an Uber. Now, this is where I think it gets weird. And I'm using my racing
knowledge. This is where it gets
you've
weird.
You've only just thought it's getting weird now?
He ran for an Uber when he had one, right? I've watched enough horses in mounting yards.
All right, Ralph, we don't need to know what you're doing in your spare time.
If a stallion walks in with one, you don't back it because you know it's hard to run with one at full pace. That's experience, eh? At 5 a.m. the next morning, I woke with constant ache and still very erect. I tried painkillers, ice packs, hot baths, but nothing works. Doctors later told me the longer it stays hard, the wider the scope for lasting damage. Getting help fast is the key. Remember that, people. Ideally within 2 to 4 hours. By 3 o'clock, I was in agony, waiting for the ambulance. So there you go. So we just need to... I'm going to get to the end bit there. 3 weeks after the nurse gave the injection, he left hospital. It's still too early to tell what impact it will be, though it's now smaller than it was 3 weeks ago. So there's your excuse, punters. if ever it's smaller than you hope it'll be, just say that. Oh, I just took the wrong stuff.
It's that outrageous. You'd probably believe it.
Probably. What else you found there, Dane?
Pardon?
What else you
found? I've got a couple, but you know, you probably didn't listen to our last podcast. What are your thoughts
on it?
No, like our last one. Yeah. Well, she probably didn't listen to it. I would have listened to us back either. Alarm clocks. Do you know I sleep with an alarm clock?
What, an actual clock?
Yeah, like I don't trust my phone. I need like a big bright alarm clock. Well, I come back, paid for itself the other day.
Yeah.
Well, Taylor had to use it.
Not on the day of the basketball.
No. Taylor had to use it. Because her alarm didn't go off 2 days in a row on her phone. So I've been proven correct. That was just a little fact that alarm clocks work. And
they're still not obsolete.
And iPhones are a little dodgy sometimes.
So you're not trusting, you just don't trust the iPhones.
No, I don't. No, not as far as I can throw them. I could probably throw them 20 metres.
This is from Philip. I have two kids, 3 and 2 years old. I go to lots of kids' parties and I always bought a cheap $15 or $20 gift that'll end up in the bin within a year. Recently, I bought a birthday card for a two-year party and put a $20 shop card, bottle shop card in with a message, Dad and Mum will give you everything you need, so here's a little gift for them. I now do this for every toddler's party I go to. It's caused a few fights between myself and my partner. Is this okay or wrong?
I think this is brilliant.
How about all the kids?
2 and 3.
So basically, instead of buying a present for a toddler who's going to get a million presents from all the other guests that are coming and his parents and his grandparents, he's bought a present for the parents, which I think is a great idea.
Well, if I was the parent, I would love it. If I was the kid, I would hate him.
He's two. He's not going to know, is he?
I want a cardboard box to play around with, you fucking asshole. Fucking, what do you mean?
I want a doll.
So
everything's relative.
If I was the parents, you'd be getting an invite back to their next birthday. Anything.
I do this for baby showers, to be honest. Instead of buying presents for the babies, because you can't buy clothes, they're going to grow out within 2 weeks. There's no point in buying nappies or dummies or everything else that the grandparents are probably going to buy or the aunties or uncles. So I always like to buy the parents something. Usually I go down the path of like massage voucher or something because, as you'll know, Ralph, there are sleepless nights and your body's gone through a war to get to this newborn stage. I think it's nice for the parents to have something for them rather than the baby that's getting everything.
Very thoughtful. Yeah. I like it.
Well, what are you? You're a parent
at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to change anytime soon. Unfortunately. Well, your wife has something to say.
Anything with alcohol, big thumbs up.
What would you? So, what would for the 2 year old? What kind of alcohol does a 2 year old drink?
Fenugan.
Fenugan. What's that?
That's a Jack. That's a bit.
Antihistamine.
Yeah. No, it just stops them running around and all that. Just
I'm pretty sure it
down.
Isn't antihistamine.
Is that it?
Ralph, right. That's why they stop running around, because they're drowsy. You've drugged your children.
Okay.
where do I get some of that?
Fenugan.
Yeah.
From the doctor.
How much of a dose would an adult need, say, if he was flying the Thailand economy? Probably in the middle.
Well, I'm only little, so I only need one.
Just off the top of your head.
Yeah, just out of curiosity, if I was to nip down the chemist and get some.
Sam, now a lot of feedback about the Slurpee.
Yes.
Very well received too. So have you got Sam's science shit of the week?
Well, it's not as good this week because I feel like everything that I bring up with my housemate, he's probably the wrong audience to ask because he's quite intelligent. But every time I ask him, he's like, yeah, everyone knows that. But the one that I've got this week is I thought I'd go back down along the whole cooking route because I seem to help a few single men out with their cooking. But when you are cooking, add salt to your water if you don't already, not only for flavour, but it actually increases the boiling point of water. Salty water actually boils at a higher temperature, therefore your food will cook quicker.
God, it's great. I've never heard that one at all. By the way, look. I haven't. I always put salt in.
Yeah. It's not for flavour. It's to increase the boiling point of water.
I put salt in, but I don't know. I've seen Taylor do it, so I do it.
Monkey see, monkey do.
For pasta and stuff, I do.
Yeah, it cooks the pasta quicker because the temperature of the water.
Yeah, I don't know why I did it, but I was out of you there, Sam. I did it for God knows why, but I did.
By the way, just on your sleepy theory from Luke, I heard your theory on brain freezes and the tongue to my roof of the mouth. I get brain freezes surfing during winter at home, and it sure as shit ain't cause I'm taking in cold water into my mouth. The first time I go underwater, I take a breath, go under a wave, then surface with a brain freeze. and my tongue does F all for that one, Sam. Glad right. you are back on. Keep talking shit. I haven't actually Googled who Ralph is yet. Don't. I'm listening to this at 10 p.m. on a Sunday in El Salvador. Had a few bumps. Swanee might be able to appreciate that. You. What does that mean?
Pardon? Sure, most of our listeners would probably know what
okay.
it means.
Okay, okay. Oh, I'm old. So that
we'll get kicked off the air now.
Good afternoon, again? El Salvador.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Sam, what's your other article you got?
Just about a priest.
Oh no.
I've got one which is off the back that you actually sent it through, but when we talked about vaginal steaming, it's just to let the women of the UK know out there that there's actually a spa to go and get such treatment now. The first vagina spa is coming to the UK, offering tightening, steaming and orgasm-boosting treatments, plus a 24-carat gold bikini wax. I don't think the amount of gold in your bikini wax is going to make it hurt any less, but a vagina spa could be coming to the UK as the owner of popular salon in the US is looking to expand across the pond. Cindy Barshop, who appeared on The Real Housewives of New York, set up her V-Spot Medispa in the Big Apple 2 years ago, and she's now looking to set up a second location in London. So, ladies of London, our listeners in London, if you are after vaginal steaming or a 24-carat gold bikini wax, head on down.
On the off chance that Swanee and I haven't got one, when you hear those type of stories, what tends to be your reaction?
Put me on the spot.
If you're going to come loaded with it... You got to come loaded with an article. You got to be ready to defend it, or you know, you got to come with a take.
Good on them, I say.
Yeah. There's a market for it. Fuck it.
Exactly. I don't quite understand why talking about vaginas is so taboo. None of you would be here without a vagina or periods. I said the word period on a male dominant podcast. Look at the voice cringe.
Oh, that's gross.
We have to talk about ejaculating into a cup. Good on them. It's nice that there's a spa for that kind of stuff. We get everything else done, so why not?
I wasn't cringing. I was just trying to work out we could call the name of this week's show, none of us would be here without a vagina.
Go for it. It's factual.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
I beg to differ. My mother says I'll cut a stork drop me down.
Dane, I hate to brag to you. Mum's lying.
No, she's not. Jesus? What about Jesus? Okay. That little fucker come from nowhere.
So, well, I have a theory on that, but I'll probably upset a few people.
He popped out of nowhere. Jesus, don't worry about that.
From the sun, my wife caught me having
Mary
sex without...
Mary wasn't a slut, as they say.
She wasn't.
What? Immaculate conception.
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure that whole risen again thing was just off the back of a big bachelor weekend, I reckon. Yeah, he just had a big hangover and he found himself passed out in a cave and made up some excuse that he...
Well, in fairness, a lot of boys will probably rise this Thursday after this week, their Mondays and today. Man, there'll be a lot of footballs will finish their season, going to rise again after a couple of days of fucking sitting in their bedroom feeling real sorry for themselves, ordering Uber Eats.
From the sun, my wife caught me having sex with our neighbour and now she doesn't trust me to leave the house.
Who's? The neighbour's house or hers?
Dear Deidre, after my wife caught me having sex with our neighbour, she won't even trust me to take out the bins. I reckon that's when you are under the leash.
Or clean the pipes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're both 37. Our sex life is non-existent since our youngest was born, causing arguments. I'm an IT guy at college. A new tutor joined who's lovely, divorced and 32. She moved in my street, was having problems with her internet. She asked me to work at work if I'd help. She looked amazing when I went around that evening. Her hair was down. She was wearing ripped jeans and white T-shirt. I'm starting to think this isn't a real story.
Probably not.
So after the wife caught him, I'll just get to the end bit.
You never let the truth get in the way of a good story, Ralph.
No, that is true. Absolutely. All right. Hey, go on.
I want to do some matchmaking.
Yes.
Oh God.
We've had a story about a priest on this on our previous podcast in the past.
What was he doing after his priesthood?
Well, he was. You know, for those who've listened, bear with us. A retired priest has found a new career as a porn star and says he's enjoying mind-blowing sex, blah, blah, blah. So good on him. But I come across an article the other day where, this Irish priest was being arrested for sending parish money to men on Grindr. Now, we know what Grindr is. You're on it, Ralph.
I told you I'm still going through a
heterosexual
phase.
Father McClune was arrested, blah, 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 and he's subject to an internal investigation conducted by the Arch Diocese of Pedophilia, Philadelphia, in 2017. And then, so I just wanted to think if there's any way that we could probably hook up the porn star and this guy. I think that would be lovers grand. What are you laughing at?
Surely merch is a better option.
Pardon?
Merch is a better option than sending money to Grindr.
So I'm sure the Catholic Church are big fans of this podcast. So if we could get in contact with Joseph McClune. What? That's his name. And Norm Self.
Norm Self.
This is real, is it, Dave?
I'm starting to think that's not real.
Mate, it is.
From our Twitter page, Swanee and Friends, or Swanee Friends, actually. From David, if I give my dog a soft mat and he forms it into a rooting device and flogs it, my goodness, why did I start reading that? Sorry. Okay, this is better. From Jay Lance, can we get into a who would win a fight scenario episode? For example, Spider-Man v. Wolverine.
Wolverine. Wolverine any day.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go Spider-Man just to be different.
10 baby ducks versus 10 baby chickens.
Chickens.
Oh, ducks.
Cockfighting, man. Crazy.
Bruce Lee v. Chuck Norris.
Bruce Lee.
Chuck Norris.
We've disagreed.
Nathan Buckley v. Damien Hardwick.
Oh, in footy or coaching?
Damien Hardwick.
In the ring.
Damien Hardwick, I think.
Oh, we're fighting. We're actually fighting.
He's a bit more aggressive when he played,
Damien
wasn't
Hardwick,
he? He probably wasn't as talented as Nathan, so he had to rely on other
aggression.
Means to get himself.
White line fever.
A cool career.
From Carnda Woods. Not sure if it's his real name. Any chance Sam can correct her foil theory? Clearly states in the box use either side, and it's a manufacturing process that causes the shiny side.
It's science, mate. We've had this discussion. It reflects the heat. If you're trying to keep your food warm, turn the shiny side in and it will reflect.
Then why would they lie on the box?
That's a great question.
I'm getting who makes it?
I stand by my theory.
Carnda Woods.
No, I didn't say who makes the question. I would have said who asked the question. That who makes the product?
Elfoil.
That's what it's called though. But who makes it? What's the
brand
company?
It might be Glad. It might be Glad. Yeah, I'll have a look.
Well,
but it's definitely 100% science.
But a mate who she follows a cooking website, they got a question, and she listens to the podcast, and has for a while.
This one,
yeah, this one, and the previous
Good
one.
Good on her.
Yeah.
Shock.
What's her name?
Steph.
Hi, Steph.
Why should the reflective side of the foil face down? Immediate answer. So it reflects the heat back into the dish.
Thank you. It's science.
From Ross Katsimbaris. What's a better pregame feed, Swanee? Fish and chips, spag bowl, or steak and salad?
Night before be pasta, obviously. Yeah. I do know science. Carbohydrates gives good energy source.
What would you eat game morning?
Game morning. Well, I prefer not to. If it was a day game, I would just have like Milo cereal.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good's Milo?
I had Milo cereal.
Right.
Yeah, it was a little shout out to your company there. But I did. But if I was playing at 2 o'clock, I'd sleep in till like probably 10, 10:30, have a big bowl of cereal, and then that's all I'd eat. If I was playing a night game, I'd have cereal about 10, 10:30, then I'd have like a little bit of lasagna and like 3 o'clock or something like that.
From Andrew Bennett, why do scuba divers fall out of the boat backwards?
Because of the flippers, I would imagine.
The flippers, yeah.
To the flippers or the oxygen mask?
I don't know.
Well, because, you can't.
We probably should have looked that up. From Bells, we've had lots of these. Bring back the big man, Scotty Cummings.
He's very busy.
So an open invitation. Listen, if anyone who wants to get us give Ralphie the arse, well, Camo can come back and Sam can slide into the hosting chair and away we go.
Just checking the odds here. Hutchie doing that is about $1.12. From It's Brett. Any idea of the odds of Phil in getting a Brownlow vote?
Very, very unlikely, I would have thought.
Robert McCormack, he's on this Would You Rather. Would you rather every time you stood up you would pee or every time you sat down you would poop?
Pardon me? Can run that by me again?
Would you rather that every time you stood up you would pee or every time you sat down you would poop?
Pee. Right. You can deal with a bit of piss in your pants. Can't deal with a bit of shit in your pants. You have to take 1,000 pairs of pants everywhere you went.
It's like a self-help.
Pretty easy one, that one.
Yeah, all right. From our Instagram. Hang on.
Did you work out how to use the inbox, Ralph?
Not yet. No, I'm getting there.
I was going to say I'm proud of you, but one step at a time.
I forgot to tell you my joke too.
Tell it.
No, what? No, we're not allowed to tell the answer to Jam Marmalade one.
No, he's not.
No, you're not.
But you're not allowed to. You can't marmalade just something somewhere.
From Mr. Campen.
But I've got another joke for you, or we can finish on me joke after I do my tips.
Okay.
It's not a bad one.
From Mr. Campen. Dane or Sam, can you please chuck another phone book under Ralph's cheek so he's close enough to the mic, please?
You get a lot of that all the time, won't you?
I am.
Why don't you move it closer? It's not rocket science. Yeah. It's rocket surgery.
Sorry about that. Top work on the socials. Thank you. We're doing our best. Dane's enthusiasm, Sam, you'd have to say.
Mm.
It's marvellous.
It's right up there.
You haven't got anything else please to like sign, us. Do you, today?
No, we don't have to sign anything. Okay. It's a great week. You can enjoy your holiday.
I got a pack and stuff.
From Seven Warren, I think Swanee should have a segment to bust things wide open. Myths, scams, and anything bullshit.
Yeah. Oh, well,
you up for that?
Give me something on the case, yeah, and I'll do it.
From Philip, would you rather fart loud or have farts that clear a room?
Depends who you're with and where you're with. Probably clear room.
Did you see that? Speaking of which, did you
really?
Did you see or have you seen the Andre the Giant documentary?
No. I seen you tweet about it though.
Oh, it's so good. And they do a big segment about one of his party tricks is to lift his leg and do a fart. He's 7'4". He would drink 100 beers at a setting.
Oh, my Lord.
He's a big boy, wasn't he?
And he wouldn't mind letting go. From Clark Shark, what was that sledge you heard you mention in the season one podcast that you couldn't mention? Well, we can't do that one.
Why not? That's another good way to get us kicked on, get probably the person who said it kicked off whatever they're on.
And the reason we don't do it is because it's both racial and sexual, and it's of real people as opposed to making jokes about fictitious things. from Piglet, most intimidating moment you experienced on the field, Swanee?
Intimidating. You don't really get intimidated on the field because it's not like back in the day where you can get punched, or unless you're Brad Staker, but... but no, you never really felt intimidated. Like coming up against good sides, like Geelong, they were a good side, so you had to worry about them. But Buddy was probably pretty intimidating. Not you were scared of him, but just you always knew where he was, and he intimidated by how good he was. But apart from that, you don't really get intimidated on the field.
From Luke Swanee, who wore number 36 better, yourself or Dusty?
Even though Dusty, when does Dusty wear 36?
I know.
Pardon?
Yeah.
Well, me, obviously. I don't know. Well, clearly.
Yeah. Does Dustin know you feel this way?
Well, I'm about to tell him.
I'll let him know.
He's an avid listener of the podcast, Dustin. Yeah. Can't wait to come on and talk Urban Dictionary stuff with us.
From Big Daddy Nick, being robbed of a second Brownlow yourself, Swanee, which bloke, past or present, was robbed of taking Charlie home?
Three, actually. I should have won.
My mate, Scotty West.
Yeah, should have won three. Who was robbed taking Charlie home? Well, a few boys done it this weekend. what? I don't know. I don't know. Probably follow it closely enough. Yeah, I was a bit stiff in 2010 and 12. It's a story for another day, though. It's a long
one. Is it harder or easier, do you reckon, for the boys who've won a Brownlow not in grand final week like you did?
Is it easier?
Well, because
so you mean winning it?
Let rip as opposed to being disciplined.
Well, it's easier to celebrate on Brownlow night because I was playing in it, so I finished up at 5 a.m.
Did you?
What? Well, how often do you win a Brownlow? But I was going to play in premierships every year. What? Well, because I should have won in 2010.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, there's me washing away. Well, I was the favourite, so I was like, well, my chances passed me by, and I was made a memo to myself. If I ever win it, I'm going to celebrate. And it just happened to the grand final got in the way in 2011. So I was home early enough. I had to train the next morning. It was tough.
From our Facebook page, Swanee and Friends, please like us. From Damien Torrey, does Swanee have a destination book yet for the end of season footy trip?
Yeah. Got a Bucks party, actually.
From Corey to both Sam and Swanee, what are you guys watching on Netflix at the moment?
I actually just finished The Crown, which is really good.
Out of 10?
Well, I'm a big royal fan, so I'd say like an 8 or a 9. It was bloody good.
Yeah, the royals don't interest me one bit. which is my shock. What am I watching?
Well, you're thinking of that.
I just finished Last Chance You. That was all right.
Which one? Sorry?
Last Chance You.
Okay.
Watched Animal Kingdom. That was all right.
The Family. I watched the first three episodes the other night of The Family. So is that good? US doco. Oh, I watch it now with subtitles because did you know this one, Sam?
No.
Explain to Sam, please. Subtitles, the importance.
Well, they're very important.
I use them all the time.
Yeah, I watch movies now with subtitles.
Same.
Because it means...
For me, it feels like... Because people say they're not... I don't read a lot of books.
Okay.
So I kill two birds with one stone when I watch movies. And seriously, it feels like I've watched a movie and read a book.
Okay.
At the same time. So hence, I'm a lot... Because people say, you know, you're book smart, you read books, you're very smart. So I kill two birds with one stone. I become a lot smarter because I read books on TVs and also get to watch a movie. So that is why subtitles are very, very important.
Wow. From Fativen, I think that's how you pronounce it. People complaining about Swanee going on vacation when he doesn't have a job. I got a job for you, Swanee. Swanee and Friends World Tour Vacation. Start a vacation tour business similar to Contiki. Take people around the world with you, paying good coin. I know a guy. Let's set it up.
Hey, I'm available. For an earn, I'll do anything, mate. Still waiting for McDonald's to hit me back.
From Ron. If you were juggling a cat, a chainsaw, and a bowling ball, which one would you turn on first?
A cat, a chainsaw, and a bowling ball. Which one would I turn on?
From Chris, what's faster?
Turn a bowling ball on. How do you turn a bowling ball on?
A mouse or a spider? Need to settle an argument with a mate.
A what?
A mouse or a spider? What's faster? Depend which spider, wouldn't it?
A mouse. Clearly, wouldn't it?
It would depend on the spider, I'd say.
Hmm.
Turtle's joined in. He wants to know if that's the Urban Dictionary question. From Danny. Good point. Then we'll finish up with this one. From Danny.
You're telling me joking. The
before
tips.
You joke. Yeah. From Danny. Swanee, when are you going to apologise to people you don't give a fuck about?
When I'm going to apologise. Well, Jesus. When some company who pays me a fuckload of money makes me. That is when I'll apologise. Apologise to anyone. I'm pro anyone who's pro me.
There it is.
Do you want me to read you my joke?
Yeah.
How do you stop a dog from humping your leg?
How?
Suck its dick. What? Can we do the tips? What? I want to do me.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.